Thank you, Jay. Hopefully you'll stick around long enough to hear the message. It's a good one tonight. Don't go right home. Let me tell you, we talk a lot about certain lines that stay with us. So one of the things that we say around here a lot is, you know, your life is about way more than you. Way more than you. And I also realize in that statement you could say that our church is about way more than us here. And I was reminded of that really just as I came in tonight, and Mr. Robert handed me some mail that came to our mailbox where Westbridge received its mail. And it said, this is from a woman who has never set foot in Westbridge, never been here. And she wrote, dear Pastor Drew, just want to let you know that I have been thinking of you guys. I have been tuning in to the Westbridge website regularly. You'll notice that we capture our service on two cameras here. Facebook Live, which is in the front row, and in the back, they set up a camera every week, and that goes to the website. Well, this person has been watching on the website regularly, and they said that they enjoy listening to the sermons and are blessed by the messages. Just keep up the great work. God is at work. And that's always a comforting thing to know that God is working, and he is doing what he wants to do, and we're just trying to be faithful in any way that God shows us that we could possibly send his message out. Well, when we left our study last week, King David's forces have quelled the rebellion, and they have ended its leader, who was David's son, his son Absalom. He's been killed. And we saw that David had taken that news very hard. But we also saw how David had collected himself after Joab spoke to him. David collected himself, and David went out to his troops, and he thanked his troops for their incredible service of putting him back on the throne and getting Israel back where God wanted it to be. At the end of chapter 19, David and all those who had fled Jerusalem during the Absalom rebellion, well, they're now walking back to Jerusalem. And on the way back, they encounter the very same insult thrower, Shimei, that they had encountered on their way out. We studied about him. But this time, as they're coming back into the city victorious, the king has now been put back on the throne, this time Shimei is singing a different tune. My Lord the King, please forgive me, he pleaded. By the way, this is 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 19. 2 Samuel 19, 19. My Lord the King, please forgive me, he pleaded. Forget the terrible thing your servant did when you left Jerusalem. May the king put it out of his mind. I know how much I sinned. That is why I have come here today. I'm the first person in all of Israel to greet you, my Lord the King. Well, then General Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said, Shimei should die, for he cursed the Lord's anointed king. But David responds in verse 22. This is not a day for execution. For today, I am once again the king of Israel. Then David, turning to Shimei, David vowed, your life will be spared. Now, friends, don't mistake David's gracious reply for passivity in any way. David is not averse to action. Instead, we see our first point tonight, which is David does not get pulled into trivial fights. Sure, Shimei was disrespectful. Sure, Shimei was over the line. And sure, Shimei could be punished for what he did. But David looks at it, and David says, it's not worth it. Just drop the whole matter. And believe me, David is not being passive here, and we have proof of that, because in just a few verses, we will see David has no problem jumping into battle mode later. But here with Shimei, David shows us another option to the off with his head option that General Abishai promotes. Here, with Shimei, the mad insulter and rock thrower, David doesn't take the hurt. He doesn't get into it. He doesn't fix the wrongdoing. Instead, he never takes offense to Shimei in the first place. And that, friends, allows David to just walk on by and let it go. Gang, sometimes the war is won by never starting the war at all. Remember, Shimei's crime, here's what he did wrong. He threw rocks and he hurled insults at the king as he walked by. And Westbridge, to David, that is just not enough of a threat. That is just not enough of a violation. It is just not enough of an issue to warrant his army moving on it and ending a man's life over. Now, soldiers, we have all seen personal wars started, haven't we? We have all seen blood spilled, as you could say, for much less than what we see here. We would do well to learn the proverb, chapter 12, verse 16. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. We do best to keep these words in mind when General Abishai's impulse rises up in you. When you first see a problem and think, I don't tolerate problems. When you have a loose end and you think, I don't like having loose ends. And when an issue rises up and you immediately think, I don't like leaving issues unaddressed. Well, this text shows us that sometimes there are battles that we need to walk on by, like David did with Shimei. Sometimes problems, loose ends, and issues, well, they kind of have a shelf life that will cause them to burn out without us even acting at all. Like a foolish Facebook post that gets buried in the avalanche of newsfeed. Some of the things we think need to be acted on will actually get washed away like writing in the sand very quickly. And if we had acted on it, we may well have made more out of it than it was ever going to be. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not saying that we should like tolerating problems. I'm not saying we should enjoy having loose ends, and I don't think we are going to find comfort in leaving issues unaddressed. But David's example shows us that not every insult is worth responding to. Not every hurt needs to get through to your heart. And not every mistake someone makes needs to be corrected. Not every issue needs to be acted on. You know, there's a second consideration to ponder here. Be very honest on this one. We know almost nothing about the perpetrator here, Shimei. We know he's from Saul's family. That's all we know. But I do know this. I know this because I do it too. We tend to default characters in the Bible to, well, they must have a normal IQ. I'm sure that these people in the Bible are emotionally intelligent people, and all Bible characters must be totally together types. Well, gang, if David's society is anything like ours, and it's a lot like ours, I'm sure David had his share of people who were not normal IQ, were not emotionally intelligent, and not together all the time. I mean, look at Shimei's actions. You go back to chapter 16 where it took place, and it says, Shimei ran after them, keeping pace with them from a nearby hillside, cursing and throwing stones and throwing dirt from a hillside, throwing dirt at David. Now, let me put this in how I grew up. If Bugs Bunny were standing, Bugs Bunny would be standing next to Shimei with a sign, and on it would be two pictures, a screw
and a ball. Now, David doesn't have Bugs Bunny, but David sees Shimei and he says, let it go. He says to his general, let it go. Westbridge, we can easily determine when we are to walk on by, like David did, by simply looking at three conflict considerations. The first thing we need to consider is the severity. How severe is the issue? This was someone throwing dirt. If our issue is no more severe than being insulted, we should walk on by. If our issue has no lasting impact, walk on by. If the issue is only about my feelings being hurt, walk on by. After the severity, there's a second thing to consider. Consider the source. If your offense is coming from an unreasonable person, God follower, do not try to reason with an unreasonable person. Walk on by. If the person doesn't really grasp the concept of knowing better, walk on by. Third conflict consideration, consider the shelf life. If the whole thing is going to be short-lived, walk on by. If it's a moment of weakness or an impulse, walk on by. Or if the whole thing is going to fizzle in just a few sunsets, walk on by and let the whole thing fizzle out. That's what David did. And he is right in doing so. Gang, believe me, I am the biggest proponent of not tolerating dysfunction. That's one of my life phrases. But David is teaching us another level leading up to that. And that is this. Evaluate before you refuse to tolerate. How severe is the issue? Who is it coming from? And is this a flash in the pan thing? Back to our story. David now is marching to Jerusalem. He's going back. And we find out that there is still a divide in the people of Israel. And we talked about this when it happened months and months and months ago. This is going to be a long-standing division of Israel into two pieces. The 11 tribes that are called Israel and the tribe of Judah. And here's what happens in chapter 19, verse 41. All the men of Israel complained to the king. Oh, the men of Judah stole the king and they didn't give us the honor of helping you to take you, your household, and all your men across the Jordan. Now the men of Judah replied, the king's one of our kingsmen. Why should they make you angry? We haven't eaten any of his food or received any special favors. But there are 10 of its tribes in Israel, the others replied. So we have 10 times as much right to the king as you do. What right do you have to treat us with such contempt? Weren't we first to speak of bringing him back to be our king again? Well, the argument continued back and forth, and the men of Judah spoke even more harshly than the men of Israel. Now, there happened to be a troublemaker there named Sheba, the son of Bichri, a man of the tribe of Benjamin. Sheba blew a ram's horn and began to chant, "Down with the dynasty of David! We have no interest in you, son of Jesse. Come on, you men of Israel, back to your homes." So all the men of Israel deserted David and followed Sheba, son of Bichri. But the men of Judah, however, they stayed with their king and escorted him from the Jordan River to Jerusalem. Man, this is like junior high school on steroids, isn't it? Now, it would be nice. It would be nice to just walk back to Jerusalem and live in peace. You just ended a war. It would be nice. Now that Absalom's issue is over, to have no more issues.
It would be nice to get relief and respite after that terrible war. It would be nice to think that once you've solved the problem, there aren't going to be any more, at least for a while. It would be nice, but gang, it wouldn't be reality, would it? Instead, we learn this sobering truth that problems will always be followed by more problems. Now, I'm not trying to discourage you or ruin your day. I'm not trying to steal your holiday season with this. But the cold, hard truth is that we learn from chapter 20 is that if we are going to live for God, if you are going to live for God, you are going to pursue godliness, if you are going to try to live holy where you work, if you are going to try to speak truth to the people of this world, then you are going to constantly have to fight for that. And that means there's always going to be an antagonist. There's always going to be a problem person. We may suffer through one trying boss at work, only to find after they leave, someone else is just as difficult to work with. As for David here, he has just quelled one insurrection, and he has wisely, after that, he has wisely walked by and forgiven a second conflagration. But this problem, this Sheba problem, this is not a problem that fits into the walk on by, let it go category. No. David assesses it like this in chapter 20, verse 6. Then David said to Abishai, Sheba, the son of Bichri, he's going to hurt us more than Absalom did. Quick, take my troops, chase after him before he gets into a fortified town where we can't reach him. So, General Abishai, General Joab, together with the king's bodyguard and all the mighty warriors, set out from Jerusalem to go after Sheba. Point two, David knew what not to tolerate. Sheba was not some crackpot, kooky rock thrower. Sheba was an influencer. Sheba's uprising was one that was causing division in God's people, was undermining God's authority, and it would have lasting harm. David immediately recognizes this, and David instantly throws down. David unleashes the dogs of war. When we talk about David's greatness, chapter 19 and 20 show us a very vivid picture of David's greatness. Was David perfect? No way. But David was caring. David was teachable. David was wise. David was intense. David was smart. David was brave. And 99% of the time, David got it right. David goes after dividers. David goes after division makers like the active cancer they are. And if something is going to be a problem, it must be fought. Because unaddressed problems will grow and eat you when they're that kind of problem. Gang, as followers of God, we must be smart. We must be resolute about what we will not tolerate. I grew up in a home where this was very clear. Very, very clear. And it was enforced as well as it was clear. My mother, with wisdom that parallels David's brilliance, made it clear to us. Hitting and fighting were not tolerated. Three boys, hitting and fighting were not tolerated in my home. Speaking disrespectfully, not tolerated. Meanness to one another. Meanness, just general meanness to one another, not tolerated. Teasing, bullying or belittling, not tolerated. When we got older and became teens and older teens, another thing, not tolerated. Girls in your room, not tolerated. I never had a chance anyway. It was never going to happen anything like that. I didn't know if Mom, we're good. Don't worry about that. Not with this face. Staying out all night, not tolerated. Smoking, drinking, drugs, cursing, not tolerated.
Now, how my mother enforced this, I don't quite remember, but we got it enforced. I remember something about seeing stars floating around. It must have been Christmas. But I think you get the point. Now, you might think, that sounds terrible. That sounds terrible, living in a house like that. That seems awful, where all those things are just not tolerated, a bunch of don't do's. Well, let me tell you what was. Not only tolerated, let me tell you what was encouraged in my house. Laughter. Oh, do we laugh. Family dinners. Joy. Encouraging one another. Creativity, highly encouraged. Industriousness, crafting, love, music, cooking, entertainment, hospitality, and family holiday celebrations, all highly encouraged. We knew what to tolerate and what not to tolerate, but it was enforced. I was just talking to a teacher, a school teacher, who told me about a parent-teacher conference they had with the mother of one of their best students. One of the best students really, really, really couldn't wait to have this meeting. And the teacher asked the mother, said, "What do you believe is the secret of your child's success in my classroom?" That's a good question. "Why do you believe, Mom, that your child is so successful in my classroom?" And the mom responded, "Well, I didn't expect the public school to get my child to walk a straight line. I got my child to walk a straight line, and then I send him to you." I said to the teacher, "Whew, that sounds like my mother." Bible students, King David shows us that he knew what to tolerate and what not to tolerate. You and I would do well to learn from him. So, back to our story. Sheba's rebellion, it's there, and David has it in his sights. It's in the crosshairs. He sends Joab, the dogs of war, Abishai, they all go after him. Chapter 20, verse 14. "Meanwhile, Sheba traveled through all the tribes of Israel and eventually came to the town of Abel Beth Maacah. All the members of his own clan, the Bichrites, assembled for battle and followed him into the town. Now, when Joab's forces arrived, they attacked Abel Beth Maacah. They built a siege ramp against the town's fortifications and began battering down the wall." Here we go, verse 16. "But a wise woman in the town called out to Joab, 'Listen to me, Joab. Come over here so I can talk to you.' As he approached, the woman asked, 'Are you Joab?' 'I am,' he replied. So she said, 'Listen. Listen carefully to your servant.' 'I'm listening.' Then she continued, 'There used to be a saying, if you want to settle an argument, ask advice at the town of Abel. I am one who is a peace-loving and faithful in Israel. But you are destroying an important town in Israel. Why do you want to devour what belongs to the Lord?' Joab replied, 'Believe me, I don't want to devour or destroy your town. That's not my purpose. All I want is a man named Sheba, son of Bichri, from the hill country of Ephraim, who has revolted against King David. If you hand over this one man to me, I will leave the town in peace.' All right," the woman replied. "We will throw his head over the wall to you." This is a no-nonsense woman. I believe this is a direct ancestor of Miss Kelly's. I do. No nonsense. Yeah. Heads will roll. Well. "So then the woman went to all the people with her wise advice." Welcome to the Bible. "And they cut off Sheba's head and threw it out to Joab. So he blew the ram's horn and called his troops back from the attack. They all returned to their homes and Joab returned to the king at Jerusalem." Whew. Wow. The crisis is averted. The war is over, and no collateral damage at all. No collateral damage. How in the world does this happen? Well, old General Joab has a very good battle plan. Battle plan step number one: listen. Joab was open to listening before pulling the trigger. Listening to a woman in that day. Very odd. Joab listened. We're told a wise and obviously very influential woman in the town offers Joab counsel. And it's that counsel that will save the day. Friends, we will all have battles in our lives, but the best first step in our battle plan should always be what Joab's was. Listen. That means hear all the sides. Get all the information. Know what you can before you act. I learned a long, long time ago never to go by only one side of the story. And man, there is always a second side. And no matter how cut and dry the first one seems, the first one, like, I'm sold. I don't even need to hear from the other one. Yes, I do. I absolutely do. Even if it doesn't surprise me, I need to hear the other side. We do best to listen to everything we possibly can before acting. After we hear all we can, we move to step two. Consider. Joab thought about the collateral damage that would be done to that city. Joab thought about the lives that would be lost in an all-out siege. Joab thought about the objective that he was after, and only the objective, and considered what path could allow him to get there with the least resistance, and this woman offered it. Westbridge, when we are faced with an issue that merits our attention, if this is not something you can walk by, God has shown you clearly, you don't walk by this one. But then after we listen, it's time to consider the best, wisest course of action by taking it to God. Allow God, as you're considering, consider it with God through prayer. Ask Him to help you consider what to do. Allow God to speak through godly counsel. Anyone, be willing to listen to anyone who wants to offer godly counsel. Even if it's this woman hanging out the wall of a city that you're ready to destroy. Friends, allow God to establish what step three is supposed to be in your battle plan. I got to tell you, friends, when I choose my band of brothers to fight with, when I pick my teammates, my first pick is always going to be, I choose God on my side. I want God on my side. You see, when you have God on your side, you have all His forces at work with you. And most times, all I have to do is trust in God, and the next thing you know, opponents' heads are flying over the wall like a volleyball right into my lap, and the battle is over. As the band comes back, the worship leaders return and the prayer team comes to this side. Ask yourself, first question, have I gotten pulled into a battle that shouldn't be? Am I in a battle that shouldn't be? I know it's easy to get in them, but it's also possible to get out of them. If you got pulled into a trivial battle, maybe this week, maybe this Christmas season, you need to end it. Just let it go. Your walk on by might be just as, nothing more than going up to someone and giving them a hug. It may be nothing more than just going up, shaking her hand, going up and just saying hello. Battle's over. Maybe, am I tolerating something that I should not be tolerating? Is there something big? Something that's going to destroy? Something that's going to divide? Something that's going to distract? If there is, then maybe this is a time that I need to set some boundaries. Let it be something I don't tolerate. Set the boundary, and then more than that, enforce the boundary. God can do it all. But if we want to see Him working, we have to get Him involved in the process. And then we need to yield to him like that woman in the wall. Just let him tell us what to do and let him do his thing and follow along. Will you stand and sing? When I think about this idea of tolerating, walking by, I want to encourage you, if you've been tolerating a life that's being thrown about because the devil has had his way, I encourage you, there's answers for that. You don't need to tolerate that. But the key is that you can't walk by Jesus Christ. You got to stop and do business with him. You may know all about him and heard about him and been in church your whole life and said, you know, I understand him, but I've never connected with him. I've never stopped and said, you know what, Lord? I have sinned. My life's blown up. And I've never gone to you with it and asked you to make it right. And I'm getting the feeling from being here and hearing what I've been hearing while I visit, I need to not walk by you anymore. Instead, it's time to kneel in front of him and say, I give it all to you. I admit my sin. I believe you're the Son of God, and I confess that you are who I am trusting in to get to heaven. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray for each one who is here, maybe those who are at that crossroads where it's time for them to start a relationship with you. Well, Lord, you came 2,000 years ago on Christmas to allow that to happen. And I pray that tonight, if there's anyone in the room who's at that place, they would start by merely saying yes to your gift. I accept. I don't get it all perfectly. I just know I need you because my sins have kept you away. But now you've broken through. And I accept that and I want that. And now, Lord, I pray that you would continue to lead us as we walk forward and become the followers of God that you want us to be, that we would realize that our life is about way more than us, and that everywhere we go, we're having an impact with just the joy, the hope, and the way we trust in you with our life that people see. And I pray this holiday season, this wondrous Christmas season, people would see a difference in us and ask, and that we would say, I found the Christmas child. He lives in my heart. Now, Lord, keep your hand upon us as we leave. And I thank you for what you've done. I pray that you would prepare those hearts even now who you want here next week. And I pray that your kingdom would be advanced and more people would be rescued because of what you did on a cross. In Jesus' name, amen. We spend our last 5 minutes talking with one another. Please enjoy each other's company. We're not going to clean up for a minute. The prayer team is here on my right. If you need anything to talk to, I'll be over there with them. Please come say hello. And we'll see you next week, 7 o'clock, for the After Dinner Theater.